The scripture reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. I think you probably have this almost memorized. But if you will stand, I will read it to you, and I want you to notice what it says in particular. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, and then names seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, no show mercy unto them. I think God is showing there's a difference there in it. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Why aren't you supposed to marry these people? The answer is in verse 4. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Now God would kill us. It didn't say it, but we're supposed to kill the other people. But because we are serving other gods, he's going to kill us. You may be seated. I'm going to bring you the great heir of Marxism. I hope you enjoy this sermon as much as I did in preparing it for you. My question is, what happened to America? When we were young, now some of you are not as old as I am, but still, it's still true. When we were young, things were a lot different. When I was young, there was no illegal drugs. Now, there were some under the radar, but I never knew of any illegal drugs. No rock and roll music. No dirty movies. No sexual revolution. No massive, unpayable debt problems. No locked doors in many of our neighborhoods. Can you believe that? No open homosexuals on television and movies. In fact, you watch the old movies, the man and the husband slept in one bed and the woman in the other. No same-sex marriages. And our families were not being torn up by divorce. And our moms were staying home with their children, and so on and so on. It didn't just happen. During the last half century, someone stole our culture. And they replaced it with a new and very different one in its place. A sleazy and decadent place in which we live today. The story of how and why is one of the most important parts of our nation's history. And practically no one knows the story. And this is exactly the way our enemies want it to be. What happened is that America's traditional Christian culture, which had grown up over generations from our generational Christian roots, was swept aside by an ideology. Why did this happen? Because we were disobedient to God's laws. The ideology is cultural Marxism. It's identified by the code words political correctness, and multiculturalism. That's Marxism. This Marxism goes back not to the 1960s, but prior to World War I. Now remember, Marx was in the 1800s. See, it evolved. The number one goal of the cultural Marxism since its creation has been the destruction of what they want to destroy. Western culture and the Christian religion. Before World War I, Marxist theory said if Europe ever erupted in war, the working classes in every European country would rise in revolt, overthrow their governments, and create a new communistic Europe. But when war broke out in the summer of 1914, that didn't happen. The communist revolution did occur in Russia in 1917, but attempts to spread that revolution to other countries failed because the workers didn't support it. What went wrong was the question the Marxists asked themselves. They came to the same answer, that Western culture and the Christian religion had blinded the working class to the Marxist interest, that a communist revolution was impossible in the West until both could be destroyed. That has always been their goal. The destruction of the Christians' covenantal, exclusive doctrines. That's what had to be destroyed. Now, two leading Marxist intellectuals, Antonio Gramsci in Italy and George Lucas in Hungary, laid out a strategy for destroying Christianity, which has proven all too successful. They advocated no communist revolution up front as it was in Russia, but Marxists in the West should take political power after a long march through the institutions, which included the churches. This is what America has experienced from the 1960s on. Changes in the schools, changes in the media, and changes in the churches. A man by the name of Felix Weil, who had inherited millions of marks, used his money to set up a new think tank at Frankfurt University in Frankfurt, Germany. Originally, it was called the Institute for Marxism. It later changed to the Institute for Social Research, and later as simply the Frankfurt School. In 1933, the Frankfurt School was well on the way to creating political correctness. 1933, well, that's when Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party came to power in Germany. Since the Nazis hated Marxism and the Jews, almost all members were Jewish. The members, the Jews, of the Frankfurt School decided to leave Germany before World War II broke out. Where do you think that they went? Where? Correct. And where in New York City do you think they went? They went to the very same school that Barack Obama went to, Columbia University. They welcomed transfer student Barack Obama from Occidental College in 1981 to 1983. Well, once you know this, that the school of Frankfurt went to Columbia University way before Barack Obama was even born, it makes sense why they went there. While they were at Columbia University, they soon made some of the following changes. Number one, They departed from orthodox Marxism, which said that all history was determined by who owned the means of production, and changed it to which groups had powers of dominance over other groups. This is very interesting. Certain groups, especially white males, were labeled oppressors, while other groups were defined as victims. Have you ever heard that before? Oppressors were automatically bad, while victims were automatically good. It is now the descendants of slaveholders, whites, who are the oppressors, and the descendants of slaves, blacks, who are the victims. I don't know what they do with the people who were slaves under blacks. And a lot of whites did not own any slaves at all. But you got to have oppressors and victims. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says this: Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness. In other words, they change everything around, right? This is exactly what the Frankfurt School advocated. For example, homosexuality. Anyone who thinks men and women should have different social roles is considered evil. And we got it right here with Chick-fil-A. They said about the school children, it doesn't matter if school children learned any skills or any facts. All that mattered was they graduate from the schools with the right attitudes on certain questions. To be tolerant on homosexuality is one of these right attitudes. Number three. The Frankfurt School argued that cultural Marxism could make powerful use of tools like radio, film, and later television to do what? Psychologically condition the public. I'll give you an example. All in the Family. Does everybody remember that show? All in the Family. Not only managed to portray the working class members as being stupid and bigoted, it portrayed Jewish themes very positive. By the end of its 12-year run, even arch enemy, Archie Bunker, had raised a Jewish child in his home, befriended a black Jew, gone into business with a Jewish partner, enrolled as a member of a synagogue, praised his close friend at a Jewish funeral, and so on. We saw a movie yesterday trying to regroup after the long drive. It was a movie in which the man had three daughters, and all three daughters fell in love and got married at the same time, on the same day, at the same place. But the Roman Catholic priest failed to show. What happened? He had appendicitis attack. So they're all there, three daughters ready to marry at the same time, but there's no one to marry them. So who marries them? The rabbi, who was late to the bar mitzvah. That's right. Judaism is portrayed as having no ethnic connotations, and its rituals are pleasant and enabling. Anti-Semitism is an absolute irrational evil that must be fought at every turn, even though this is another case of misrepresenting who is really a Semite. In fact, as most of you know, if not all of you know, that most Jews are not Semitic. 7% are Semitic. Why, most Muslims are Semitic. those known as Jews are guilty of the murder of Jesus Christ, our Savior. On the other hand, Christians, the true Semites, is often portrayed as evil in the movies, and Christians are even depicted as being evil. 4. They took one of political correctness's favorite words. What's one of their favorite words? Tolerance. And gave it a new meaning. They defined liberating tolerance as tolerance for all ideas and movements coming from the left. And intolerance, they certainly are intolerant for all ideas and movements coming from the right. They also changed the meaning of diversity to mean the uniformity of the belief in their ideology. 6. They changed the motto from think locally, act locally to the new world order of think globally, act locally. For example, the new GMO foods with the large corporation farms that sold its goods at international markets, as opposed to the small organic farms that sold its harvest at the local markets. 7 is very important for us. They wanted to eradicate all belief in God. They were avid admirers of the Marxist principles of what? I'll give you a clue. Answers in Genesis. Needs to study this out. They were avid admirers of Marxist principles of equality. Oh, that's a communist idea. They're advocating a communist philosophy. So they changed Christianity to teaching that all people were equal. And I guarantee that at least 98%, I could be wrong, that could be too low. At least 98% of all Christian churches proclaim that all people are equal. That is, all races descended from the same person, Adam. In addition, almost all the churches have the same universal doctrine. And I saw in the newspaper this week where the churches are becoming more and more multicultural. That salvation is available to all people of all races. They deny the biblical doctrine of election and the unconditional old and new covenants or testaments that were made with the house of Judah and the house of Israel exclusively. 8, they brought in a new music, rock and roll. The music of the devil and his seed, and slowly got rid of the old-fashioned hymns. After World War II ended, most of the members of the Franklin School returned to Germany, where they came from. And soon, cultural Marxism became the unofficial but all-pervasive ideology of the Republic of Germany. But a few from the Franklin School remained in, where'd they go? Remained in America. And kept their changing of America. They injected the Franklin School's cultural Marxism into the baby boom generation. Do you remember when you became aware of the word multiculturalism? Political correctness? It was from these people. The people in the know did not advertise political correctness, and multiculturalism was a form of Marxism. They just used the words. But the effect was devastating. a whole generation of Americans. Especially what group? What group would be what group carried this on? The university-educated elite absorbed cultural Marxism as their own, accepting a poisonous ideology that has destroyed the Christian culture of the United States. That generation, which now runs every elite institution in America, now wages a ceaseless war on all traditional beliefs and institutions. They have largely won that war. The Frankfurt School theorized that the authoritarian personality is a product of the patriarchal family. This idea is in turn directly connected to Frederick Engels, who promotes matriarchy. Furthermore, it was Karl Marx who wrote despairingly about the idea that the family was the basic unit of society. No surprise, this is right in today's world. No surprise that many supporters of gay rights and women's liberation have been so attracted to the teachings of the Frankfurt School. The interesting thing is that there is a tactic for the subversion of a whole society to undermine patriarchal leadership. Well, that's what the Bible teaches, doesn't it? And to encourage women and the poor to challenge the status quo. The school used the work of a group of philosopher socialist theorists who were active in Germany. I'll name a few of them. Some of them you won't recognize, but some of them you will. Karl Marx, everyone knows him. Karl Grunberg. Friedrich Nietzsche. Psychologist Erich Fromm. Some of you may know him and his books. Max Horkheimer. Theodor Ordino. Walter Benjamin, Herbert Marcuse, and you all know Sigmund Freud. They also were proponents of the League of Nations and later the United Nations. I will talk a little bit about the United Nations. And I'm going to show you some transparencies. And if you leave here feeling that the United Nations is a good organization for peace, you probably believe the Olympics is a great thing for peace. After the First World War, the Jewish-led element created the League of Nations to bring, what, peace to the world? They failed. So the United States refused to join it, but after the Second World War, they tried again. This time they succeeded. They created the United Nations and the United States joined that organization. Now I'll read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. I'll read it again. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out seven greater nations, greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. And then there's something else. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Well, let's look at history. Who was president? United States President Franklin D. Roosevelt, who happened to be a 32nd degree Mason. British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who just happened to be a 33rd degree Freemason. And Soviet Premier Joseph Stalin, who just happened to be Illuminati. They all belong to the same organization. Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin. They initiated a conference to take place in April 1945. Its purpose was to plan the charter of an organization to promote peace, security, and economic development. The conference was attended by representatives of 50 nations. America and her sister Israelite nations once again have gotten so far away from their instruction book, the Bible, that they actually joined the modern man's Tower of Babel. They should never, ever be in the United Nations. The scripture says in many places, like Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, to not make any covenants or treaties with any other people, especially with the enemy seed line. The Lord our God tells us that we are to show no mercy to this people, and Israel are forbidden to marry them. I'll read you again the verses 3 and 4. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. What's the reason? It says the spouse of the Israelite will turn the Israelite who married her or him from following God. They will serve other gods, so that the anger of the Lord will be kindled against Israel and will destroy them suddenly. The United Nations is just a remake of the Tower of Babel, with more nations involved. They have now grown from 50 nations to 193 nations. What is the United Nations based on? It's based on witchcraft. And the four elements that are on the earth. What's the four elements on the earth? Now, if you're familiar with, if you know the bands, you know what they are. Air, water, fire, and earth. They also celebrate the four powers of the sun, God, along with Freemasonry and other like groups. They have two solstices and two equinoxes that occur each year. The four directions, north, south, east, and west. Did you know that witches pronounce their spells in each of the four directions? The fifth pointed star points out the fifth element that will arise from the four elements of the planets. There was a very popular group that was named after that. Their name was the fifth dimension, or witchcraft. It used to be my favorite group before I learned this. Remember what Albert Pike told us. He said, we will lie to them about the meaning of their symbols and keep the meaning secret, except to the members of the higher degrees. Have you noticed the United Nations logo? There are two olive branches. Now, let me get this out here. That is the United Nations logo. I guess most of you recognize that. There are two olive branches which show the world that they are working for the peace of the world. The powers of the occult will bring the nations to war. They say they bring peace, but they bring war. Well, who are they fighting? What did the Frankfurt School, what were they doing? Destroy Christianity and the Western culture. The powers of the occult will bring the nations to war. Its purpose is to bring all nations of the world together to work for peace and development based on the principles of justice, human dignity, and the well-being of all people. But they don't. What are the principles of justice and human dignity and well-being of all people? It goes back to God's laws. It affords the opportunity for countries to balance global independence and national interest while addressing international problems. The laurel at the bottom of the United Nations logo represents the hybrid of the genetic power of the heavenly being with the daughters of men. I will talk about that in another sermon. The two olive branches both have how many leaves?
8, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Oh. That's very important in the United States history, too, isn't it? They both have 13 leaves. Why 13 leaves? It's a very important number in Freemasonry, isn't it? What's another important number in Freemasonry? 33. Does anybody see 33 something up there? There are five concentric circles, that means circles that have the same center, with eight straight lines dividing them, east 45 degrees.
Well, there's the first, and there's the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. There's five concentric circles, and then one, two, three, four.
Eight lines, each 45 degrees. What does that mean? 32 sections. Oh, but there is what?
A circle left in the center, right? Which is the
33rd. Oh, the whole world is divided into 33 sections. And what part of the earth is the 33rd section?
Well, here's what we live over here, right?
South. What part of the earth is that? What part is circled? The North Pole.
Oh.
Who lives at the North Pole? Oh, you believe in that false god, Santa Claus. But Satan is going to try to sit on the throne of Almighty God. It's our God who lives at the North. He's not at the North Pole, but he's at the North part in the heavens. That's where he lives, in the north. He's trying to take over the throne. Now, if you will turn to 1 Kings chapter 20, I'll read you a scripture in Israel's history. And it was not a very good time in Israel's history. This is the house of Israel. Because they had put away God's laws. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, we'll get the idea. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together. How many kings did he have with him? Oh, 32 kings. And he would be the 33rd. And horses and chariots, and went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. The king of Syria with 32 other kings made war with the house of Israel. That made Ben-Hadad the 33rd king. This is very similar to the United Nations logo, isn't it? I'm not going to go through the whole 20th chapter. You can read it on your own if you want, but it's a fascinating story. Because the house of Israel was very disobedient to their God. King Ahab, and that's the king that Elijah had the contest with, the king of the house of Israel gave the king Ben-Hadad all his silver and gold and his wives and children. Can you believe that? All his silver and gold and wives and children he gave to the king. But he refused something. See, you gotta make a stand. And King Ahab made the stand. He refused the Syrian messengers who asked to come and search his house and to take whatever was pleasant in their eyes and take it away with them. That was too much. Israel defeated Syria in the next two battles. Isn't that something? After Israel defeated Syria in the first battle, the king of Syria boasted. This is 1 Kings chapter 20. Now we're down to verse 23. Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. Let's fight against them in the plain, and surely we'll be stronger than thee. So they fought in the plain. Israel then defeated Syria in the second battle. How many did they kill in one day? 100,000. You put that in today's 100,000 U.S. soldiers killed in one day. Boy, people be upset. It's 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 29. But then King Ahab did some false talking. But since King Ahab let King Ben-Hadad live, it cost him his life. You think our God doesn't believe in capital punishment? Thus saith the Lord. This is 1 Kings chapter 20. Now we're down to verse 42. Thus saith the Lord. Because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction. Oh, God want him killed? Therefore, thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. Ken Benadab represents the United Nations of today. I'll show you something else. Does anybody know what this is? Japan? Yeah, Japanese flag. I wonder how many rays of the sun there are. Let's count them. 32. And then we have the big sun, which is, isn't that amazing? Japan had the same thing as the UN logo. Is this Christian? What about the Jesuits? Now, they have been the spy and military agency of the Vatican. And they have their own pope, which is known as the Black Pope. Let's look at their logo. Do you recognize that logo? How many rays of the sun do you think that is? 32 rays of the sun. And the sun makes 33. Now, there are some letters in there, isn't it? What letters do you see? IHS. Now, you got to remember what Albert Pike said. Don't tell the average person what it means. Lie to them. And we'll tell the people the higher meaning what it means. In his service. Well, that's the English. It's not written in English. Whose service was it anyway? I grew up in a community Baptist church. We had a pulpit, and they had in the front of the pulpit a banner that had IHS in it. Remember that, Joyce? Did you ever wonder what that meant? Did you have that in the Lutheran church? She had it in the Lutheran church. Did you have it in your church? So the Lutheran church and the community Baptist church had it. I asked, what does that mean? The answer that I received from the pastor was that it meant the first three Greek letters of the name of Jesus. Well, he got the version from Albert Pike, which was the lie about what it meant. That's not what it means. There's really four letters. That's three of the four. But why would you have IHS anyway, hanging down from the pulpit in a church, if you're anti-Catholic, if you're anti-New World Order, if you're anti-Jewish? The letters stand for in hoc signo, which along with the fourth word, vinces.
Does anybody know Latin?
Who can read Latin? Well, in means in. Hoc means this. Signo means sign. Vinces, you might know that from the old Roman emperor, means conquer. In this sign, conquer. You might recognize this signo here that you see in a lot of churches, but we're not going to talk about that now. It goes back to who? The Roman emperor Constantine, who saw this image of the cross in the sky and was told in a dream that night that he should use the sign of the cross against his enemies. He was the emperor who converted the world to a false Christianity. In other words, he started the Roman Catholic Church. In Mackey's Encyclopedia of Masonry, he states that this is the motto of Freemasonry too, in the sign conquer. Oh, so both the Roman Catholics and the Freemasons agree and have the same motto. I find that very interesting. Oh, there's more. Another important symbol of the witches and enemies of true Christianity was the compass rose. Well, let's look at that.
Things you think go around all the way around.
Oh, you're very good.
And this is the 33rd. And then all these around here, there happens to be how many of those belongings? Anybody ever notice that thing on top of the... You remember that? What is that?
It's got a name. Now, I have trouble pronouncing English. I have to pronounce this in French, so it'll be wrong. But it's called the Fleur de Lis. It's located at the north. But does anybody else use that symbol? What, it's located where? Oh, at the north. That's just like the, where else do we see that? United Nations. See, most Christians don't know that God lives in the north, up in the sky. They think Santa Claus lives there. They have the world so deceived. Does anybody know any other group that uses this?
This symbol up there?
Boy Scouts. What? The Boy Scouts is not a good group? Well, actually, it's not. Who else uses it? You have to be a football fan to know this. Yes. What? New Orleans Saints?
I'll show you. That's what New Orleans wears on their helmets.
Why does a professional football team and the Boy Scouts have this symbol as its logo? Kind of shows just how worldwide the deception is. Remember, symbols and numbers are very important in their religion. The symbol is the same of the United Nations symbol. It depicts the soon coming world government that comes from the north. The compass rose has appeared on charts and maps since the 1300s. When the charts first made their appearance. The term rose comes from the figure's compass points resembling the petals of the well-known flower. Also on the grounds of the United Nations is a statue The statue was made by the Swede Carl Friedrich Rutzenwald. It was called the Twisted Gun. It is located in the Visitor's Plaza and tells what the United Nations feels about gun control. Anybody ever see this statue? That's where? United Nations. What do you think they feel about gun control? For or against? Big statue in the front. And to make it even worse, inside the United Nations building, which is in New York, Rockefeller donated the land, is a statue. It's a statue of a god. His name is, well, who's the god of the Olympics? Zeus. And the god Zeus is naked. Is this Christian? Is it pagan? Yes, it is. It was given by the Greek government. One wonders what the Judeo-Christian does when he hears verses like the following. If you want to read along with me, if you want to follow as I read, you can, but you don't have to. It's Psalms 105, verses 6 through 10. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Instead of chosen, the word could be elect. He is the Lord, our God. He is the Lord, not everybody's God, but our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever. Oh, forever. He never forgets his covenant. The word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Now, which covenant are we talking about? Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. That is strictly to the descendants, to the seed, the holy seed, it's called in the Bible, the holy seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Bible made a covenant and an oath with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he elected their children to be his people. And he would be their God. All people are not equal. That is a communist idea. I would like to thank Bill Anderson of California, who sent me 4 articles about the Frankfurt School. I had no knowledge of this group at that time. But I hope that it also helps your understanding of what happened in America and the other Israelite nations. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen.